It is written. It has been written. Put down your hammer. Let me do the building. The preparations have been made. I have told you so. My words have been confirmed. Now is the time for revelation. Now is the time for revelation. Now is the time to reveal your plan. This is our season. Our season. Yours and mine. Divine appointments have been made. Get ready for our meeting. Get ready. Get ready. Be expecting our meeting. It is all prepared. Shalom. 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 For I declare to you this day that it is not a normal day. It is a day of new beginnings. It's a day to rise above your expectations. Your expectations are way too low. Way too low. Way too low. You're down in the gutter and I'm up here. You're not looking to me. You're looking to yourselves. You're looking to your circumstances. And you're being short-circuited because you believe the lie about yourselves. Stop. Pay attention. Look at who I am. And then begin to trust that I can do everything I promised you. Everything I promised you. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your problem. I'm tired of you looking at your problem. Look to me, I'm your solution. Look to me, I'm your solution, says the Lord. Look to me. And stop looking at each other. Stop looking at comparing. It is not of me that you compare. It is not of me that you trust only those that you think are perfect. I have already perfected you. I have already perfected you. Look to my cross. Look to my blood. Look to the new flesh that I've put in you. I've put my flesh in you, and you still doubt, and you still are in unbelief. Don't you know how long I've waited for you to rise? How long I've waited for you to come alive? Come alive. Come alive. Come alive. I've put my life in you. And you're still looking at the death instead of life. You're looking at your circumstances. Say, Lord, give me grace. Give me grace to believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. The miracles are available. But my unbelief short circuits. All the power that your heavens have contained. I still look at myself. And I see myself only as a human being. I am much more. I am a supernatural creation. Created by God. Before the world began. It's about time I get with the action. And do what he's called me to do. And to believe what he's called me to believe. And it's going to be done by grace. Not by me. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.
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 Glory to the highest.
Hallelujah. Whew. It's not formulas that are going to do it. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. All I can tell you is my body's warm, but my hands are frozen. They feel like ice cubes. And I don't understand that. I don't have to. It's just sometimes when the anointing hits, it makes a difference in the whole being. So I just want to ask the Lord now to bring forth what he put in my heart, because it's important. I already believe that there are many things that the Lord wants to do, and I want to kind of make you aware. His Spirit is on the job, and the secret, again, is we. This is our season. Not his, not yours, not mine. Our season. Him and us. We and him. And we together. It's not something that's going to be done by individuals. It's going to be done by him through us. I want to take you to just a short little moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to remind you that you are part of the body of Christ. You're not alone. And you cannot operate on your own. If you think you can, you're going to get a very, very big surprise. Verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. In all men. You're not excluded. Some people think, and I did too, you know, oh, those are the special ones. I've got news for you. You're the special one. You say, well, I don't get nothing. Well, guess what? You will. And I'm not on my soapbox for just the sake of yelling. I'm trying to make you aware that you've got to have a repentant heart, meaning you've got to get a new mind, a new mindset about who you are. And when you do, you'll be able to receive that which he's already prepared for you. It's like taking a baby, and he's not hungry, and you're trying to put the bottle in his mouth, and he just spits it out. God is trying to put his gifts in us, and some have taken and received. But there's also another percentage that's only looking to get the bottle to the other person. And they're not willing to take that spiritual milk and drink it. And I'm not talking just to one, I'm talking to all of us. Because you see, once you've gotten a few tastes, you think you've got it all. I've got news for you. You don't have it all, and neither do I. But your brothers and sisters have something to give to you. And you have something to give to them. And yet we think, ah, well, you know, maybe next week I'll open up and I'll let God use me. It's time for you to begin to think that you are acceptable to him and usable by him. Verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing, by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy. I want you to declare that. Lord, I need prophecy. For the well-being of the church. I'm not going to be looking at my neighbor only. I can be used. Me. Even me. Can be used. To prophesy. For God's glory. Hallelujah. That's the word I want you to remember. To another, distinguishing between spirits, that's discernment. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. To still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the works of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. Just as he determines. He's the Lord. Now here's where we're going. 2 Kings. Chapter 6. This is the old covenant now. We have a better covenant. But this is going to show you what I believe happened to a young lady named Olivia. Okay? Are you ready? Say, God, prepare my heart. I want to see what's ahead for me. Not just for the neighbors, but really for me. And that includes Malik. Yeah, he wiggled his toe. He heard. Verse 8. Malik, are you listening?
Yes.
All right. Now the king of Aram, which would be like the king of New York, or the king of Boston, or the king of the United States, was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. That's what happens to the prophetic person. Their spirit can invade the king's of the neighborhood, find out what's going on, and tell the Lord all about it. Say, that's for me. Verse 13. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord! I believe that was Olivia. Oh, my Lord! What shall we do? The servant asked. Here's Elisha. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha prayed. Oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. That happened a few weeks ago for Olivia. And he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha and company. That's Kim's version. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. I love this. He doesn't want to kill him. He wants to give him mercy, right? Strike these people blind with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. He gave them what? Mercy and favor. He could have left them blind. Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink. And then go back to their masters. So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So they bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. You say, what does that have to do with me? A lot. What I believe is this. There's a great deal of religious people that love the Lord, but they're blinded. They have no clue where you are coming from. And as you give them mercy and grace, instead of killing them, it might be a good idea to bless them. And when you do, they're going to stop attacking you. If you think you're superior, you have a superior spirit, but out of kindness and mercy and compassion and grace, you'll be a winner instead of a warlord. Needless casualties of war. A lot of people, all they focus on is the darkness and the enemy, instead of focusing on the one who can blind your enemy. And if you are aware of how many angels and horses of fire and chariots of fire that are around you, the fear tactics that have tried to overwhelm you and swallow you up will not have any what? You'll have no power. As you're driving home today, if you actually get a picture in your mind that there are angels all around your car, what can happen to you? Thank you. I have a couple. I happen to pastor a church up in Vermont. They used to live in California. When they were in California, they had a divorce. After, I believe, two daughters. The divorce was final. He was living with someone else, and she was living with someone else as well. And the Lord decided that he had had enough of their foolishness. And he put them back together. When they got back together, obviously the lovemaking happened and they remarried, and a brand new baby boy became a reality of that love flow. They had this incredible car accident, because they had been commissioned of God to come and serve in Vermont. They were both hospitalized for days and weeks. I don't remember all the details. All I remember is that the car was totaled, and the doctors and people who took care of them said there's no reason in heaven or hell that they should even be half alive. Yet they both survived. Well, they had gotten hit by a truck, if I remember correctly. Well, they moved to Vermont. Pastor Royal prophesied over them here at Mount Marie. I was there. The Lord used me to prophesy over them as well. I had never seen them. They were up in Vermont for about, I would say, a year and a half, 2 years. And the Lord gave them grace to buy a bed and breakfast. And they started a church right in the building, or one of the buildings. To make a long story short, as they were growing spiritually and physically, not less than 2 miles from their home, Route 5 happens to cross one of the other main streets, and a tractor trailer came down a hill and literally went right for them. They both looked and they both cried out the name of Jesus. And this is what happened. The truck landed right where they were, and God transported their car right through a metal post. And they were transported to the other side, and they were untouched and unhurt. So God took their car and transported them, and actually they were literally, you know, either the pulse disappeared or their car went through it. They don't know which. But when the highway people and the police took the records, and they had seen all the tire marks, the tire marks were in the lane where the truck hit. The truck did not hit the pole. Their car was transported to the other lane, and there's a like a piece of cement about maybe a foot and a half high that separates the two lanes.
How do you explain that to the police?
They couldn't do it. They made the headlines.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Why? He's the boss. He preserved their life. It was not intended for them to go and have seconds. That first test was sufficient. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready for more, Lord. I need my eyes open. I need the prophetic to be opened in me. Not just for the neighbors, but for me. Put your Bible.